And the Oscar goes to...
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 The Film Show presents the Oscar special on URN.
Now, let's talk about The Martian.
Based on the popular science fiction novel by Andy Weir, The Martian depicts the physical and emotional struggle of astronaut Mark Watney after a dust storm leaves him stranded on Mars and presumed dead. With limited supplies and aid being literally years away, Watney, played with unfailing charisma by Matt Damon, endures with humour and resourcefulness to survive on the hostile red planet. Director Ridley Scott offers a film which is both engaging and entertaining, noted for its scientific accuracy as well as its strong visuals. The film has been nominated for several Academy Awards, including Best Picture, Actor in a Leading Role for Matt Damon, and Adapted Screenplay, as well as technical awards for film editing, production design, sound mixing, and visual effects. The film has already won several accolades, including two Golden Globes and awards from the National Board of Review. However, despite widespread praise for his direction in the film and his winning several other directorial awards, Ridley Scott was surprisingly overlooked in the nominations for Best Director, which may indicate the film's chances at winning Best Picture to be unlikely.
He's 50 million miles away from home. He thinks he's totally alone. He thinks we gave up on him. I mean, what does that do to a man psychologically? What the hell is he thinking right now?
I'm definitely gonna die up here if I have to listen to any more god-awful disco music.
My God, Commander Lewis, couldn't you have packed anything from this century?
I thought The Martian was absolutely terrible. Full stop. Probably Ridley Scott's worst film. It's too upbeat and too feel-good. Like, the guy is genuinely stranded on another planet and everyone's just giggling about it.
Matt Damon played a very convincing role. He was comical, even though it was a serious topic. I think he'll do quite well at the Oscars, but he's got a lot of competition.
Cornball mainstream entertainment.
The Martian was not... I definitely reckon he's going to win an Oscar, because it was just sick.
I'm not really sure if it deserves to win anything. I don't really agree that the movie was that good.
So, quite a lot of negative comments about The Martian there. I have to say that I really liked it. I thought it was good fun. The Martian is one of those which really benefited from the musical or comedy award at the Golden Globes, because it won pretty much everything.
Though it's neither.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny. It's not made with the intention of being a comedy, but I think it falls well. That's when it's... The category's used well. I don't necessarily think the category is named correctly, but I like its existence, if you know what I mean. But yeah, it won Best Musical or Comedy, and Matt Damon won for Best Actor in a Musical or Comedy. Tonight it's up for Best Picture. Matt Damon is again up for Actor. Adapted Screenplay, Drew Goddard for that. And Sound Mixing, Sound Editing, Visual Effects and Production Design. I hate always glossing over those ones, but at the same time, I know nothing about them, so how can I talk about them? What did you guys think of The Martian?
I think The Martian's the best film Ridley Scott has made since American Gangster, but I think it's been receiving a little more love than it should be. I think it's primarily due to the fact that Ridley Scott hasn't made a good film after so long. The Academy has especially given more credit to the film than it's due by nominating Matt Damon, who was competent but didn't really convince me that he was stranded alone on another planet to the extent that an Oscar nomination suggests.
Is it kind of like the person said just there where it's like, this guy's stranded on a planet, we're all giggling about it?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I do appreciate the comedy in the film, because I think it elevated the entertainment factor. Because when I saw the trailer, I thought the comedy looked out of place. But
I think it was nice to have a light-hearted film set in space, after all of the very serious films set in space that we've had prior to that.
I do think it's the worst of the big three space films, Gravity, Interstellar and The Martian. But
it's a good set of three films, though. Yeah.
It's good company.
And if they couldn't sweep the Oscars as much as they did, well, Gravity did get a few, then I don't think The Martian will either. But I think the film also gets points for its diverse cast, which seems to be the biggest issue in the film industry at the moment, with the Oscars being one of the focal things that's being criticised for diversity.
Yeah, and like I've said previously in the show, don't forget to check out the Popular Tables podcast on the diversity row. I think The Martian is just one of those kind of wild outliers because it's not serious enough to win Best Picture, ultimately. Do you think that comes into play in the Academy?
Yeah, I mean, they do like... a big crowd pleaser in there somewhere. I mean, it's kind of like this year's
but it doesn't tend
Avatar
to win.
Or things. I mean, it's there because, you know, they know that, you know, the public need to be somewhat invested in the show, and to have a film which has been fairly popular, more than something like, you know, Brooklyn or Room. You know, it'll make bigger numbers, the show itself, I think.
Maybe if it was like 30 years ago, it could have won, like when Chariots of Fire beat Reds.
And what do you think about Matt Damon? Obviously, he's behind Leo and he's probably not going to win Best Actor. I thought he was better than you said just before. I thought he was... it's difficult with Matt Damon because he's done so many very, very good roles before that whenever someone does something that's a bit more, you know, lighthearted and normal, they don't get the proper recognition for it. What did you think of The Martian, Tom?
It was okay. It was very much, I think, an adult blockbuster, for better and worse. It was probably overlong, I think, was my problem with it. Was all right.
That's a heck of a comment this year. There have been so many really long films.
Yeah. And yet at the time, I remember saying, actually, on this show, that you didn't feel the length. But I don't know. It's clearly not done very well, sort of looking back on it in my mind. It's just kind of been forgotten. So who knows?
It's a nice big blockbuster, though. And I think
it's nice is the problem. It's just like, it's nice.
But I think it's
nice doesn't win things.
It's definitely an achievement to make a long film where you don't feel the length, because Hateful Eight and Revenant, which we'll be talking about later, I definitely felt it. No matter how good I thought they were, it was long and I didn't feel that at all with The Martian. I think the soundtrack helped it a lot. The soundtrack is one of the best things about the film. It's all groovy 70s music, which is just amazing. But yeah, it's like it's a film that you have a lot of affection for, I think, when you watch it. It's something you buy on DVD, but they won't win an Oscar. I think that's a fair assessment. Let's talk about... I know you guys are going to have more to say on the next film. Let's talk about Mad Max Fury Road.
Although the Academy continues to court controversy with its predictability, no one can deny that the astonishing 10 nominations for the dystopian epic Mad Max Fury Road is a welcome change in pace. The latest in George Miller's Max Rokitansky franchise, the film stars Tom Hardy in the lead. He comes to the reluctant aid of Charlize Theron's Imperator Furiosa in her mission to escape the clutches of Immortan Joe, along with his five wives. The film was a huge success upon its release in May 2015, and the accolades have kept on piling up. As well as nominations for Best Picture, Director, Cinematography and Editing, it is favourite to win in multiple technical categories, particularly production design and sound, and perhaps even visual effects, especially after having dominated the technical categories at the Critics' Choice Awards and BAFTAs. But the inclusion of Mad Max in the two biggest categories of the night have drawn the most attention. Having picked up both of the London Film Critics Circle Awards and picked up crucial nominations at the Directors Guild Awards as well, it is still an outlier but will be a very popular winner on the night. Especially if George Miller finally takes home his first directing Oscar to go alongside the animated feature Oscar he won for Happy Feet.
And how exactly do we take the Citadel? Assuming we're still alive by then.
If we can block the pass, it'll be easy. All that's left are his war pups. And war boys too sick to fight.
And we'll be with Nux. He's a war boy. He'll be bringing us home, bringing back what's stolen as he's meant to.
Feels like hope.
Fury Road, I loved it. Most kick-ass movie of the year. Definitely up waiting for it to win lots of awards.
Mad Max 2 Fury Road I wasn't keen on at all, because I've never seen any of the Mad Max films previously. So I felt like when I was watching the film for the first time, I didn't really understand what was going on. I didn't understand the whole blood bank thing, but did have good special effects.
Oh, Mad Max was just nuts. Like, it was just absolutely amazing.
Yeah, Mad Max, such a popular film this year. It really surprised everyone. So I'm going to go through all of the things it's nominated for. There's quite a few. So as well as Best Picture, George Miller is up for Best Director, and he's second favourite to win after Alejandro González Iñárritu. Cinematography, again, it's second favourite after The Revenant. Favourite to win editing, costume, makeup and hair, sound mixing and sound editing. And then it's second favourite to win in visual effects after Star Wars, and favourite to win in production design. So it's pretty much going to clean up in the more technical awards.
Good.
Yeah, it is good. What did you think generally of Mad Max Fury Road?
I sort of was reserved about it because I guess in terms of the mainstream, I was familiar with all of them, and so I was probably in a rarer place than a lot of people, and so I was reserved. But loved it, and was very much surprised and happy that it
it
took everyone the way it did.
Yeah, I think it was definitely my favourite of the Mad Max films.
Yeah.
I like 1 and 2.
What's wrong with Tina Turner?
No, that was not good. But I saw them all at about the same time. I watched the original trilogy in order to go and watch Fury Road. And, yeah, it was my favourite. Although I did kind of miss the homoerotic leather stuff that they had going on. But I was willing to accept the better female representation in place of that. Yeah. Sana, what did you think of Mad Max?
It's easily my favourite Best Picture nominee. It's an excellent action film that... blows every other blockbuster of the past year out of the water.
And blows cars out of the way, and people out of the way, and blows limbs off.
With these terrific characters, especially Furiosa, some spectacular effects and combat sequences, and it did an excellent job at world building. You could just... It throws you straight into the action, and you can tell that this is a world that's been lived in. I think all these elements combined result in a Mad Max film that is better than all the previous ones. George Miller's creativity and inventiveness is pretty rare to find in big budget films nowadays, so I think Fury Road deserves all the success it can get, especially tonight at the Oscars, because this may persuade studios to make more films like this, or at the very least let George Miller make more big budget films, because he was rumoured to be the Star Wars Episode 9 director, but instead they got the guy who did Jurassic World.
Well, they must already be encouraged to make more films like this because it did so well, especially for its rating. Was it an 18?
It's 15.
15, but like still, it did amazingly for something that was not rated, you know, for general audiences. George Miller, it might pip Alejandro González Iñárritu.
I hope so.
I want him to as well. Not sure he will.
I'd be fine with either.
Yeah, it's one of those things where basically for his whole body of work, it's that sort of thing where they would nominate him for that.
Plus but his age, to be able to direct something so ridiculously intensive and complex. Yeah. And if you've seen the footage like of them filming out in the middle of nowhere, and it's how they're thinking, how were you able to keep in mind what you were doing?
Yeah, I remember that there was a lot of real effects that were used in the production. I remember the Hateful Eight cinematographer saying that they should have a separate category for real effects, which is funny because the Hateful Eight wouldn't win it. Mad Max would win it. But yeah, it was so visceral and amazing. And actually, I've just remembered my interesting fact about Mad Max, which is that George Miller really originally wanted to do it in very deep monochrome, so lots of different greys and steels and stuff. And then they were like, no, you have to do it in colour for the wide audience. And he really did it in colour. It's so in your face and loud.
You get a rush from it. It's exuberant, like it's chaos, and it makes you realise just how you give so many films a free pass for just doing things kind of well. It's so good, and all the respects you mentioned before, like the kind of the world building, just the way it's edited, the way the characters are just made as characters without lots of just sitting around talking about them, just in very subtle ways. It's just I came out of it on a rush from it.
And actually, in fact, I've only just thought of this now, which is weird because we're doing the Oscar special and I have been thinking about these films, but I haven't actually compared Mad Max and The Revenant before now. And everyone is saying how immersive and stuff The Revenant is, but yeah, Mad Max is a really full-on cinematic experience.
It does all that and much, much more. And they were still working out in the desert. It wasn't, you know, like... It wasn't like The Revenant were the only people putting effort into a movie this year.
It's very true. But that's probably what I was going to reflect. Yeah. But I still think it's a really, really great showing. And it means that because they're going to clean up in so many of the technicals, they're still going to be able to be, like, winner of 7 Academy Awards or whatever, which is always a nice thing to do. But, yeah, I think it would be nice if George Miller won. That's one of my hopes for the evening, is that George Miller pips Iñárritu to it. Now, let's talk about The Big Short.
The Big Short is directed by Adam McKay, previously known primarily for Will Ferrell comedies like Anchorman. In this film, he uses his comedic know-how and the talent of Steve Carell to tell the layman and woman why they should be outraged by the global financial crash. Using all manner of visual and narrative techniques to break down complex economic factors, McKay's comic depiction of how the world's economy came to a crashing halt never forgets the tragic consequences, even in the face of cameos from the likes of Selena Gomez. Winning a number of adapted screenplay awards, as well as the top prize at the Producers Guild Awards, The Big Short is nonetheless an outsider for the Best Picture and Director Oscars due to its comic nature. But its topicality could still prove winning tonight.
You did it again.
There were no cabs. What was I supposed to do?
You're running around like you have to right every wrong
in the world.
Okay.
How angry.
Fine. You know what? I'm a
mean guy and I'm soft.
You have no idea the kind of
people are pulling, and everyone's walking around like they're in a damn Enya video. They're all getting screwed, you know. You know what they care about? They care about the ball game. Or they care about what actress just went into rehab.
I think you should try medication.
No, no, we agreed. If it interfered with work.
You hate Wall Street, but maybe it's time to quit.
I love my job.
You hate your job.
I love my job.
You're miserable.
I love my job. I love my job, honey.
Mark.
About The Big Short, I say great economics lessons. No character. Hard to imagine it has screenplay at all.
I loved it. Great documentary and very great storyline and characters.
The Big Short was probably, it's a movie that I enjoyed far more than I expected to. Like, the premise didn't really seem like something I'd like, but it was really, really good, but I still don't think it'll win anything.
So that's The Big Short. I really, really liked The Big Short. What did you think, Tom?
Oh, you always come to me first. Sorry, I don't know what to think.
It's like I want to sweep around the studio in a nice arc. Josh, what did you think of The Big Short?
I didn't see it, so Tom, back to you.
Damn it. It was solid. I've written stuff down, you see, and I've forgotten that. It's basically, we've not talked about it yet, but everything Spotlight isn't, in that it's big and brash and crazy and calls attention to itself.
Yeah, we're talking about Spotlight next. Both of them obviously about real life events.
Well, this will make sense in a few minutes. It's big and crazy and it's sort of exciting, and it never loses sight of the fact that, you know, of the real world consequences of what happened, which I think is the important thing.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's definitely very fun. I actually thought that it could have been less music video-y in the beginning. I found it quite difficult to settle into for the first 20 minutes or so because it was so zippy and cut scenes, and I felt kind of like it was talking down to me, and then it really settled in for the rest of it.
Simply, I thought it was quite not stodgy but really heavy, because I remember thinking about 20 minutes in, if this is you trying to explain how things happened, you're doing an appalling job. And then Margot Robbie turned up in the bath and go, you're not understanding this, are you? And I'm like, damn you, film. No, I wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't so much the content, it was the style that I found difficult to get into at first, because I'm not very YouTube generation clickbaity. I have quite a long attention span.
You do classics.
Masana, what did you think of The Big Short?
Well, The Big Short's about the housing bubble collapse of the noughties, a subject which general audiences may or may not be well versed in, but either way the film does a good job explaining to audiences all the unfamiliar terms that are associated with the business, particularly through an effective use of breaking the fourth wall.
Yeah, it's quite deliberate about trying to educate you. That's like a purpose of the film.
I enjoyed that. It's educational, informational, and entertaining. It reminds me of Michael Moore's documentaries in that way, because how it tackles a serious American issue but manages to be funny whilst doing so.
Yeah, one of the people that reviewed it, one of the box watchers there, called it a documentary, and I thought, it's not a documentary, is it? But it kind of is, in like maybe it's a docudrama. That would be better, because it's got people explaining the real events and then dramatized version of that events.
The performances from everybody are really good, especially Steve Carell and Christian Bale, who's in the running tonight. But I think Jeremy Strong also deserves a mention. I think Adam McKay has successfully made the transition from comedy to drama, and the rumours are that he's going to be tackling global warming in his next film, and I look forward to that. But before then, I'm expecting him and Charles Rudolph to win tonight's award for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Yeah, it's widely expected to win Best Adapted Screenplay, because it won Best Adapted Screenplay at the BAFTAs, and it won the Writers Guild Awards, which is the main signifier, because it means that writers like it. Yeah, I do think it's a really good script, and Steve Carell is...
Especially without Aaron Sorkin in the competition. Exactly.
Yeah, do you think Steve Carell should have been recognised in the nominations?
Well, he was recognised for Foxcatcher, and I think that was last year, which was far more acty.
I do think the best supporting actor, which is what I believe he would have been in the would have been a contender for, because
it would have been a split vote between him and Christian Bale. Then.
Yeah, and like it's not just him who's been robbed of the category; it's quite a few people. So the competition was really strong for the category. So I'd say he should have been recognised, but there were so many people who didn't get recognised for that category.
It's also very caricature-y in a way. I don't know to what extent it's a proper character, more just crazy angry man that's disgusted at injustice.
Maybe, I don't know. It's I think it's good at presenting the things. I would say we were talking about it maybe being a docudrama rather than a, you know, what's the general term, feature film.
Drama?
Yeah, rather than a drama. But obviously we talked before on the show about how they omitted a female lead character from the book
right.
For the film. That's probably not so much documentary-like.
Well, documentaries as a this is a different topic, but documentaries generally, obviously, are about as much what they omit from telling a story, because you can't include everything about whatever it is you're talking about.
They, I think they changed. I don't know. I haven't read the book. They either changed her gender or they omitted her and made a composite character out of her. I would say that's fairly poor. Yeah, if I do have one criticism, I do think it has a bad. It has bad representation of women, but I don't know how you could get around that when it's presenting quite a sexist world, like a boys' club kind of institution.
Yes, yeah.
So. Also, none of them are really great characters, so I don't know that it would have been particularly flattering anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Because like, they're either evil people robbing you of your money or betting on you losing your money.
Yeah, I guess so. It's... You talked about this, and Mark Cummings talked about how it's a very good double feature to have with 99 Homes, because you have...
Yeah,
I've not seen 99 Homes. Was
you
it
have,
Ibby?
You have
was
the,
it, was it you, Masana? You saw 99 Homes. Sorry, guys.
Well, with The Big Short, you have the people who are running the whole business, and with the 99 Homes, you have the victims of it. So I think it's a good feature, a double feature.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that Big Short could be a dark horse because it won Outstanding Producer of Theatrical Motion Pictures at the Producers Guild Awards. And the producers are a big silent part of the Academy because you don't generally hear that much about them, but there are so many of them that I think that maybe it could, you know, move its way up in the Best Picture category with recognition from writers and producers.
Well, it really has. It appeared from nowhere. It was, I don't think it was on anybody's predictions back before nominations, but it kept getting more and more... Yeah. Support. And even the people I say who see it, even if they don't like it, they feel like they almost should, I think. Like they go, is it my bad that I didn't get it or I didn't like it? You know, so
well, it's one of those things where if you did say a few months ago, yeah, the director of Anchorman, he's gonna be up for Best Picture. Wow, really? We'll see. We shall see on the night. Now let's talk about Spotlight. We're getting close to the big hitters now.
Spotlight depicts the Boston Globe's investigative journalist team's attempts to bring to light child sex abuse in the Catholic Church. The film has surprised everyone by being a consistent presence in the box office top 10 since its release. Despite its heavy subject matter, Tom McCarthy's sensitive direction keeps proceedings from becoming stodgy and overly earnest. Its big name cast, including Mark Ruffalo, Michael Keaton, and Rachel McAdams, have ensured that the film is both excellently performed and appeals to the large audience that it deserves. McAdams and Ruffalo have been nominated in the Supporting Actor categories following the film's ensemble win at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. There are also high hopes for it picking up Best Picture, in addition to its nominations for directing and original screenplay.
I pull out the 14 most damning docs and I attach them to my motion. And they prove everything. Everything.
About the church, about the bishops, about law.
And it's all public. Because your motion to oppose Roger's motion is public.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're paying attention.
And so I could just walk into that courthouse right now and get those documents?
No, you cannot. Because the documents are not there.
But you just said they're public.
I know I did. But this is Boston. And the church does not want them to be found. So they are not there.
Mitch, are you telling me that the Catholic Church removed legal documents from that courthouse?
Look, I'm not crazy. I'm not paranoid. I'm experienced. Check the docket. You'll see. They control everything.
Love Stanley Tucci so much. I think he's amazing. So Spotlight is up for a heck of a lot of awards. It's, you were comparing it to The Big Short before. Yeah. Do you want to make that comparison now?
Yeah, it's basically everything in the film, from the acting to the directing to the editing to the script, sort of works. We were just talking actually during that clip about scores sort of blending into the background and quote unquote that's how it should be. That's when it's working best. Whether or not that's true, it works sort of in for every aspect of this, in that they all work together so well that you don't actually notice them individually and there's no real seams.
And that's partly, performance-wise, that's to do with the ensemble cast thing, where it's pretty much a joint effort from the people. You've got Mark Ruffalo and Rachel McAdams, Michael Keaton. I thought Liev Schreiber was amazing in it. It was such a low-key performance, And but I loved it. He had such presence on stage, I felt. On screen, whenever he was on. Let's have a quick rundown of all the things that it's nominated for. So it's the second favourite to win Best Picture. Tom McCarthy is up for Best Director. Mark Ruffalo is up for Actor in a Supporting Role. Rachel McAdams is up for Supporting Actress. Tom McCarthy and Josh Singer are up for Original Screenplay, which is favourite to win. It won at the BAFTAs and the Writers Guild Awards. So I think those are pretty much foregone conclusions. Big Short for Adapted Screenplay and Spotlight for Original Screenplay. I think that's all it's up for. That's all I've got on my list. What do you think of Spotlight, Mitsana?
Well, for a film that's heavy on conversations, you're going to need some good dialogue and good actors, and the strongest parts of Spotlight are both the writing and the performances. They help convey the message of the film, but I think the most effective moment in the film, which made me react in the way that the filmmaker intended to, was when the list of cities is displayed.
The very end, when it says all of the areas that got exposed.
Yeah,
it's kind of like the end of Suffragette, which a lot of people are saying has been overlooked this year. That was one of the most chilling things about Suffragette, was when they gave all of the...
Yeah.
When women got the vote at the end.
And I do think this information could have just been depicted in an advert or an article or a book, and that's what I don't like about Spotlight. It doesn't really offer anything cinematic with this extremely televisual look. I would have preferred if it was just a documentary, and that doesn't automatically make a film bad, but when it's up for awards like Best Director and Best Picture, I think it would make more sense for the film to win Emmys than Oscars, because I don't think it represents what cinema is capable of.
I have no... That's terrible. What an attitude. That's awful.
I have to say, I do disagree on that. Partly because I think that it's... I just think it's a good film. I kind of get the televisual argument that it's not cinematic, it's televisual. But at the same time, I'm glad I saw it in the cinema, and I do think that it's got... It's mainly the performances, I think, that make it expansive. It's not high octane like Mad Max Fury Road, and it's not, you know, really sensory like The Revenant. But I was definitely glad that I saw it in the cinema, in the quiet. I think it was effective because it was kind of like a punch to the stomach because of the seriousness of the situation and how it communicated that.
The way you watch television, for the most part, kind of prevents proper intense engagement, and so I think for something serious like this, it would have just been disrespectful. Plus, people argue that TV is becoming more cinematic, and yet we still use TV as kind of an insult shorthand.
Yeah, I was going to say, it reminds me of like an episode of Mad Men, but to be honest, Mad Men has way more interesting composition and framing.
Did you not like Spotlight then?
It's okay.
There's so much going on in the directing of it.
It doesn't deserve to win Best Picture. It deserves to win Best Writing, I'll give that.
The Revenant.
Of all tonight's nominees, The Revenant has certainly grabbed the most headlines in recent weeks. It is an epic period drama based loosely on the near-legendary story of American frontiersman Hugh Glass, portrayed by Leonardo DiCaprio. Exploring the subjects of survival and revenge, The Revenant is most notable for its immersive and overwhelming visuals, as well as the performance by DiCaprio and Tom Hardy in a supporting role. A lot of media attention has focused on the extraordinary lengths to which DiCaprio went for the role, and director Alejandro González Iñárritu has since said he made irresponsible decisions in pursuit of such harsh cinematic spectacle. However, this is likely to pay off, as it is widely agreed that tonight Leo will finally win the Oscar for Actor in a Leading Role after 3 past nominations in the category. The Revenant has the most Oscar nominations of all this year, 12 in total, including Best Picture and Directing. Since Iñárritu won both categories last year for Birdman, if this film takes top prize, it will be only the 3rd time a director has won Best Picture 2 years in a row. If he also wins for Directing, he will be the first ever to take the award twice back-to-back.
The Revenant is probably one of the most cinematic experiences that I've ever seen. I think that it'll be in-house at the Oscars, and just a great performance by DiCaprio.
The Revenant's obviously hotly tipped for an Oscar, but I personally found it quite dull and quite boring visually. However, it was good. I mean, you can't fault the cinematography, and I believe it should win an award for that. But as far as performance, I think Leonardo DiCaprio's got a stronger one within him.
I thought The Revenant was amazing. I thought the cinematography was fantastic. I think Leo, like, the best thing for his situation is if the whole internet is arguing that he should have an Oscar. I think that's far better than actually winning one.
I love that idea that everyone wanting him to win an Oscar is better than him winning one. So let's just rattle through these because The Revenant is up for so many awards. Best Picture, obviously. Alejandro González Iñárritu is up for Best Director. Leonardo DiCaprio is going to win Leading Actor. Tom Hardy is up for Supporting Actor. It's up for Editing, Cinematography, which it's favourite for. Sound Mixing, Sound Editing, Visual Effects, Costume Design, Production Design, and Makeup and Hairstyling. Yeah, second favourite after Mad Max in a lot of those technical categories.
Good.
It's already won the Best Film, and Leo won Lead Actor, and it won for Cinematography, and a couple of others at the BAFTAs. It won Best Picture, and Lead Actor, and Director at the Golden Globes, and it won the Screen Actors Guild Award for Best Actor, and Alejandro González Iñárritu won at the Directors Guild Awards. So that's why it's favourite to win. Mesana, what did you think of The Revenant?
The talking point behind the film was all the behind-the-scenes stuff, such as the actors risking hypothermia and the extreme weather changes and stuff. And Iñárritu said that he had made some irresponsible decisions whilst making The Revenant. But I think what you see on screen shows that he did a very good job at overcoming these obstacles, because what you have on screen is a tremendous cinematic experience. So I think the Best Director nomination is justified, and I think he will win as well. It's not just him who makes this film wonderful, it's the performances from everybody, especially DiCaprio and Tom Hardy, particularly the squirrel god scene, which alone must have earned him the nomination, and the excellent camera work by Emmanuel Lubezki, who I think will complete a hat-trick of best cinematography victories. And I think it also manages to be thrilling, so the entertainment value isn't lost in this story of a man trying to crawl back into civilization after being left for dead by his fellow explorers.
I think I disagree with you about the entertainment value, because as you heard from all those people talking about it, it's a very visceral experience. You feel the cold, and you're, you know, with all of the guts and all of the horrible things that Leo's going through. I thought that it... Like we were talking about Bridge of Spies, how Steven Spielberg's very good at making films with heart. I felt that The Revenant lacked heart.
Okay, you first.
It's a very visceral experience, but so is being hit in the face, and I don't want to do that. Go on.
All right, well, yeah, I mean, fair enough. I mean, like, there is some entertainment value in just in how good it looks and, like, how much you can appreciate the craft in it. But it's really hard to talk about it now without feeling like I'm just repeating myself, because there's so little of substance in it. When it tries to reach for pathos, it just feels like it's retreading Gladiator with people walking through fields and just really stupid shots of her floating above him in the lake or stuff.
There's a lot of weird dream sequences, yeah, which I would have liked to see cut out because it's too long.
As we mentioned before in this video, like, stuff like that is a homage to the work of Andrei Tarkovsky.
Doesn't matter, the film's still too long.
Yeah.
Tom?
There's nothing to say. It's terrible. It's just ungodly. The whole deal made out of how it's shot is irrelevant, because Iñárritu since said himself that he was reckless with it.
Yeah.
And you don't hear any such stories from George Miller's camp with Mad Max, so there you go, give that everything. It's just... it's pseudo-spiritual... nonsense. And
it's really funny because it's favourite to win, but we are a film show and Masana's the only one who loves it. Do you love it? Like, is it?
It's one of those great films you just watch once.
Yeah, definitely. I would not go and see it again, and I wouldn't think it was that interesting to not see in the cinema.
I think it is.
I think if
more
you're going to watch it,
at least.
I think if you're going to watch it, you kind of need to see it in the cinema for the scale of it. Because seeing, as we're saying, you know, it's only the visceral side of it. Well, it's going to be diminished on a tiny little screen. But maybe that's what it deserves to be forgotten.
I did appreciate seeing this cinema, but I got to give it some props and enough respect. So I can't dismiss it totally, like Tom. Like,
enough respect. When did you suddenly get all street?
It's been a while since I've been on this show. A lot has changed. Tom Hardy is really good. I'll mention that before I said he's pretty good.
The good bit is mainly just the opening 20 minutes. It's the sort of thing that you would expect to see as a recreation during a documentary on life in those times, and so you'd get the voiceover talking about what it's like, and then you'd have someone flailing around on the floor with a bear and attacking the boat and arrows in the throat. That's all it is. It's just images for a documentary.
You're
about
so
fur trapping.
You're so unfair on it, Tom. It's definitely better than you get
credit. Contemptible.
But I have to say that I agree with what you were saying during the song, Josh, that kind of sick of it.
Yeah.
Just because of all of the praise it's been getting, I think I like it less than I did when the credits rolled.
All it takes is another day and it will go away and we won't have to think about it.
Oh, it won't, and it'll win, and then that's all anyone talk about again for the rest of the week.
In a year's time, you might just look back earlier and think, oh, that was actually a terrific film.
Maybe. I do think it's worth saying that if Iñárritu wins best... Well, there's an interesting thing going. Oh, yeah. So if he wins Best Picture, he will be the third director of all time to win Best Picture 2 years in a row. And if he wins Best Director, he will be the only director to have won that... to have won that twice in a row.
I think it's the opposite way around. Third for Best Director... consecutive.
It was said in the
only
package.
One for
yes,
best,
it was.
Only one for...
we were listening.
But yeah, do you think that that's going to happen? Because I think that lowers his chances.
Yeah, I think it'll happen. to be honest, I don't think it's been that strong of a year in cinema, and The Revenant is just far and away.
Well, okay, let's talk about some generals then, mentioning this year in cinema. Firstly, is there anything that you think really missed out? We mentioned Suffragette. I was really surprised not to see that anyway, because it seems like such an awards... film, and I definitely didn't think it was bad enough to get snubbed.
I'm surprised it didn't make more traction. I didn't actually see it, but it sounds like it had the same strengths and weaknesses of The Danish Girl. They're both about pretty topical issues. They both, even the people who didn't think it explored its subject matter that with that much depth, still really liked the performances in it. It sounded like nobody had any bad words to say about Carey Mulligan.
Yeah, I'm surprised that she didn't get nominated for Best Actress. Best Actress, again, because, as we said, Brie Larson is such a shoo-in, it feels like they could just have had all the women in the world elsewhere in the category. Anything else that you think that you would have liked to have seen?
Well, one of my favourite films of the year is now one of my favourite films of all time because I ended up seeing it three times. It's The Hateful Eight. And I think it deserved Best Picture, a nomination for that. Samuel L. Jackson was way better than Matt Damon and Bryan Cranston for his performance in The Hateful Eight. So, and Walton Goggins was also extremely good as for Best Supporting Actor. He deserved it. And Tarantino was robbed of Best Original Screenplay. It was fantastic.
He's got enough screenplay awards.
Yeah, he has.
He wants to beat Woody Allen's record of winning it
three times. Do you know the record?
Three times. Best Original Screenplay.
He's only got, what, two more chances?
Poor old guy. Yeah. Only two Oscars.
Poor Tarantino.
His ego still has a little bit more room to be inflated. Poor guy.
Also, Masani, you wanted to mention quickly Best Foreign Film. We've been terrible in not seeing...
I haven't seen three of them, Thebe, A War and Embrace of the Serpent, but I don't think the odds are on them to win. It's between Mustang and Son of Saul, both excellent, excellent pictures. Mustang is basically a Turkish version of The Virgin Suicides, but it's infinitely better than The Virgin Suicides. Mm-hmm. It's extremely good. And Son of Saul is a terrific Holocaust film. Following a, I've forgotten the word for it, but the guys who have to burn the bodies, he's a prisoner in Auschwitz. And that's most likely going to win because it's sweeped every single foreign language award it's had this award season. But I would like Mustang to win because I think that deserves more recognition for how fantastic that film is.
Yeah, Son of Saul is definitely favourite.
Yeah.
Where did you see them? Did you see them in the cinema?
Yeah.
See, I
London Film Festival.
Oh, of course. You're always travelling to London to watch films. I would love to see more foreign films, but they have such a small release date, especially in Nottingham. You tend to get them like a month late.
I believe A War was the, I think it's Hungarian or something, that was just released in like Broadway about a month ago.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. You get things at weird times. There's always like a month in between things. Never mind. so anything else that you would have liked to have seen nominated? I would have liked to seen just... more for Ex Machina because I loved it so much.
Same. Beast of No Nation.
Yeah, Beast of No Nation is an interesting one. They did. They mentioned this on the popular table earlier today that it wasn't actually eligible.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Because it didn't get a cinema release.
Because it was on Netflix while it was doing its cinema release, and the Academy. Like I don't think that's really an excuse. I think that rule should have been changed because it's a stupid rule.
I remember they did the same with Fahrenheit 9/11 because if Michael Moore screened it on television before the award ceremony, then it was disqualified, and he did.
Yeah. I think it's a poor rule that they need to fix, especially these days, because Beast of No Nation is the main one that everyone said.
45 years.
Yeah, 45 years. I think Charlotte Rampling's Best Actress is the only one that 45 years has got.
I don't know what else it would be nominated for. But it's, now I'm thinking it's one of those things that it wouldn't win Best Picture, but I don't know that the other sort of things stand out particularly.
Screenplay?
But I don't know.
Portrait?
I don't even know, neither. I don't know what it is. Best soundtrack, I don't know.
So you think it was snubbed, but you can't think of any,
other issues that it had about it.
I just wanted more screener copies to go to the houses. Just people watch
you,
it.
Why are you talking about your cold logic? I would have very much liked to see Inside Out in the Best Picture category.
And I would have expected that back in the summer. I really thought it was going to get traction.
Absolutely. Mm. And especially because, as we've talked about, they haven't used their full 10 nominations. Inside Out should definitely be there because I think it's a good all-round film. It's kind of disgraceful that it's only up for Best Animated and Best Adapted Screenplay.
I think it's because they don't want to ever run the risk of having the same film win Animated and Best Picture. So they'll just avoid that as long as
but
they
why
can.
Not? They don't mind having Best Director and Best Picture.
Well, because,
that happens quite often.
Yeah, but it's not the film getting it. It's two separate kind of things getting it for the same film, whereas that would literally be the same film getting it.
Well, even if it would never ever win it, they could at least, you know, do it the respect of nominating it.
Yeah, but if they nominate it, there's the chance it'll win it, is what I'm saying. And they don't want to have to do that because that would be just awkward.
Also, I don't understand why the documentary What Happened to Miss Simone was nominated, because that was also Netflix, so for some reason that qualifies. And if they're going to allow
it. It depends on if it has to not be on Netflix while it's doing its cinema run.
I don't
it's
think
to do with
ever
when
released
it happens.
In cinemas.
It's, no, it was in America. Because there's
it?
The talk
it's literally
that it,
just
yeah,
has to
it
be 2 weeks in LA, I think it is. A fortnight run in LA.
Show it at this cinema on this day.
I think Going Clear did the same thing, and that should have been nominated. That was an excellent documentary.
Yeah, but it's Hollywood, and so if you're going to have anything, you're not going to be criticising the Church of Scientology.
What a great place to end it on. Very quickly, before we go, we all know Revenant's going to win Best Picture, but very quickly, I want you to say no nominations or anything, just based on the entire year, what would you like to win? What do you think should win Best Picture? Tom.
Mommy.
Room.
The Revenant.
Oh, God!
Mine's Inside Out. Vasana, you're so conventional and boring.
Welcome
to the Academy.
My favourite films weren't nominated, so, like, The Hateful
That's what
Eight,
I said,
so.
Regardless.
Or, okay,
Vasana wasn't listening.
The Hateful Eight.
Go to the back of the class.
The Oscar special on URN.